Tonight I'd like to invite you to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, to be able to call upon you and ask for your blessing on your word, on the service tonight. May you fill us with your spirit that we might hear from you and truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless your people, Lord. Bless your church. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message is When Jesus Was Born. We heard about this morning about when concerning his birth, but now he's born, he's into the world now, and there are some things that took place now that the Lord is on the scene. And in our text, we want to take notice tonight the all-important work of God's redemption for mankind. It's the work that only he could do. And the events that took place during this time were, of course, during the days of Herod. We'll take notice of this. And then secondly, we'll notice Herod's plan and deception. The world will always have this plan. And then the Lord's joy and intervention and the wicked revealed. In the midst of all chaos, the Prince of Peace comes into the world. Amen. In the midst when the world is turned upside down, that's why God came, to give us his peace, not the peace of the world. The world says, you know what, listen, if we'll do this, we'll have peace. Do you believe that? If we'll just do this, everybody will be happy. If we just go ahead and get together and here's a plan, ready? You'll own nothing and be happy with it. Right? Does that sound like freedom to you? You'll own nothing and you'll be happy with that. But that's a lot of the mentality, a lot of the philosophy. And what they're trying to tell you is, we know what's best for you. Well, what they don't realize is they are just as helpless as we are. Amen. Regardless of whatever our social standing might be, all mankind is in a predicament because of sin. And tonight, God wants to show us some amazing things, I think, as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth. He's on the scene now. And let's consider verse 1 again. These are the days of Herod the king. It says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold," he says, "there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" God is at work, even regardless of whoever is on the throne or in control, because God truly holds everything in his hand. And so notice this in verse 3. "When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, get this picture here. Here we find Herod and Jerusalem troubled at the information that the Lord Jesus Christ is born, that the Savior has come into the world, and now they're concerned now. So verse 4 says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Now, here's a question for you. What's his interest? What is his interest in this whole plan? Is it really to worship the king? No, he could care less about that. There's deception there, isn't there? Listen, a couple of thoughts here. When government stays out of the way of the church and protects the freedom of the church to worship God as the church believes Scripture teaches, then both are in the right place. But when we consider this, unfortunately, history reveals that this is seldom the case. I mean, America was a unique thing was a unique thing because it's drifted far off course. But again, history reveals that this is seldom the case. There's been true religious persecution throughout history. So whether the government is in control or in the right place, or the church should always be faithful to God. Amen. Irregardless, God's people ought to be looking to him in spite of what the world or governments are doing, because the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the believers in the one true God, have to be reminded of this, and that is that he holds us in his hands. And so here are these wise men that have come out of the east here, and they're being led of the Lord, right? And we find this really demonic attack here on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and what they're trying to plan. And so now the religious rulers are getting together with Herod. What a camaraderie, if you will. What communion hath light with darkness? Well, the truth is that these religious people have become dark. And that's unfortunate because they were the ones that held the truth. So verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, isn't that amazing? They know what the scriptures teach. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And so now we find this is the plan as they get together. Herod wants to make sure what was written about him, and surely the Lord had written about him through the prophets, and now Herod comes up with this plan and deception. Look at verse 7 with me, if you will. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently. I mean, when you're diligent about something, you're inquiring. Unfortunately, his diligence was a selfish motive. It was not to honor God, but he did have a serious interest. He felt probably his throne and his power was endangered now. And so he wants to know diligently what time the star appeared. He's wanting the details. Verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He is lying, is he not? That is a bold-faced lie, and he knows it. But you know what's more important? God knows it too. God knows it, and God, listen, that's why he is in complete control. He knows exactly. Can you outsmart God? Aren't you glad you cannot outsmart God? The world will never out... Listen, God is in front of everything. God has already seen the way everything plays out. Isn't that amazing? And here's the crazy thing. Satan and his crew also know that that God is not going to be defeated. But they are so bent towards trying to defy God that they are going to follow through. That's amazing. Listen, when we can see that it's just not going to work, but you push through anyway to failure, that is not a good thing when you're standing against God. And so here's this situation. No doubt the devil's got a hold of Herod's heart, and he's lying, and he's saying, listen, I want to know when you find out so that I can worship also. And really, he's got a devious plan here. And so really, God's people are to follow the Lord and to trust that he will protect and direct us to honor and glorify him. Now, I want you to see something here. Here we'll find the Lord's joy and intervention. And I want you to notice the order of the Lord's revelation, because he grants them joy first and afterwards the warning and direction. He wants them to enjoy. He wants us to rejoice that we are held in his hands and that we can rejoice in the Lord because he holds everything. Time, space, the planets, our hearts. Listen, the orbits. How does that make sense? How can anybody say that all this is just by chance? You know, we do orbit, right? We do move around the sun. Well, what's holding us in that orbit? Why don't we just drift away from the sun somewhere and not ever come back again if it was just mere chance? And of course, there's science behind it. Now here, listen. True science that is observable will never refute the idea of a creator God. It will always confirm and concur with the creator. It always will. Why? Because God is the author of all the scientific laws. And science is a good thing if it's true science and not just based on a theory that can't be backed and it cannot be observable or reproducible. And so praise the Lord that God is in control. So notice this. Look what happens here in verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed. So they're hearing this. Now, they don't know anything. They maybe at this point, they're taking Herod genuinely, right? Maybe they don't perceive the deception. So it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So here we find these wise men coming to Jerusalem, and they're asking, where is he that is born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And now listen, so they're seeing this star, and now for whatever reason, they stop off at Herod's place. And they're telling, hey, we're looking for this. And maybe they had the idea that it was such a grandiose, and it is, it was such a big thing that everybody and surely in Bethlehem would know what was going on. Well, obviously they didn't really understand everything. And so now they get this information from Herod. And now they go out on their journey. And now all of a sudden, here's the star again. And it's there ready to continue guiding them to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, again, verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Okay, we don't need any direction. We don't need to ask any human being where he's at. There's a star, okay? The star's going to guide us. He's going to bring us all the way in. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Do you think they knew whose presence they were in? Do you think they understood that this was the Son of God, the Savior of the world? And so they fell down, they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And now watch this in verse 12. Now the warning, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, when they had dreamed, so maybe they were rejoicing and they stayed the night. I'm not for certain on that, but they had a dream. And I think when you dream, I mean, of course, there's, I guess, daydreams, but I think this was a night dream. And anyway, the Lord revealed to them, okay, Herod's a scoundrel. I want you to know Herod is not up to any good. And so he warns them, and God convinced them very easily, I'm sure, that they needed to go out a different way. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. So the wise men, so fathom this, ready? Mary, Joseph, the Lord Jesus, and the wise men are celebrating. Now, Mary and Joseph, they know where they're at. But let me ask you this question. Do you enjoy being around a brand new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and their excitement? Do you enjoy that? So imagine Mary and Joseph, they know who's in their midst. But to watch these three, or we speculate, but these wise men coming and getting excited as well, and it just rejuvenates that excitement, right? And so they had a night of it or what have you, and they're getting ready to go back. Maybe they were getting ready to go back and tell Herod, right? Hey, Herod, we found him. And the Lord says, oh, no, listen, you've got to go out this other way. So they're gone. They're on their way. And now the Lord is not just giving the wise man a personal message. He's going to give Joseph a personal message, right? To make sure that you're not taken by Herod. And so again, verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Isn't that amazing? When you stop to think about that, that the Lord, and the Lord knows this. And now question, so watch this. Is the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, he knew the danger, but was he concerned that anything was going to happen to his son? He was not concerned. Did he know? See, this is hard for us to fathom because we're creatures of time, right? And God's outside of time. He's seen the past. He was there. He's in the present. He's there. He's in the future. That's what we don't grasp. He's there. He's outside of all of that. And so he's already seen everything as it's going to fall out. Everything how it's going to play out. And yet we have the freedom to choose you this day whom you will serve. Mind-boggling, mind-boggling. And again, the only way that I can understand it, and I may be wrong, and I'll be okay with that, because God will be right and it will make all the sense. But the only way my little brain can conceive all of that is that God has, through an eternity past, already seen, because he's already in the present, he's already in the future, what you and I are going to do, and he wove his will right in between our will, giving us the freedom to make choices. And so he's seen what's going to happen. Now, he is involved and he wants to be involved to direct our lives for his honor and glory. And so Joseph and Mary, they've already been committed. They've already revealed that. They knew the ridicule. They knew the ostracization that they were going to get. And God made it that way. See, listen, God creates situations for us to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just for salvation, but for everyday life. So this was, again, another opportunity, and he knew that. He knew that, but I don't understand it. Listen, did he know that Abraham was going to struggle with Hagar? Yeah, he did. He did know that. And Sarah. But he also knew that he was going to be able, I don't understand it, but he was going to, some 13 years, 14 years later, he was going to tell them about Isaac, and they were going to, by faith, put their faith and trust that God was going to do this work in their lives. And so he knew that before he ever called him. And he knows us. Now listen, we still have to make a decision. We still have to make choices to choose us this day and not just say, well, if it's already said and done. No. Wait. Let's realize how big God is. We still have decisions to make. God is so big, he's already seen them. And so likewise, he knew that Mary and Joseph, or Joseph and Mary, were going to follow the instructions that were given. And that's why, listen, the whole lineage, everything, their whole lineage goes all the way back to, in this particular case, King David, but really goes all the way back to Seth and Adam and Eve, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is, God saw to it to put this whole bloodline together for his honor and glory. And wait, you and I have been grafted in. Isn't that amazing? God trusts that we will seek him by faith and walk with him by faith, especially as he reveals his will to us, as he's doing tonight and letting us see this example, that we can place our faith in his great faithfulness to us. So he reveals this to him. And he says, I want you to know. In fact, look at verse 13 again. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Now, I want you to fathom this thought. Remember, he's sleeping. The wise men left. Maybe this is another night, right? The wise men get the vision, go out another way. They go out another way. We're not told anything of the wise men telling Joseph anything. Maybe it's the next day. Joseph sleeps. Regardless, Joseph is asleep, right? He's having this dream. And the Lord didn't wake him up and said, okay, you better get going. It says when he awoke. Do you think the Lord let him have the rest of the evening for a good night's rest? Do you think Joseph felt secure in the hand of God? Do you think his sleep was sweet? Amen? Our sleep isn't always sweet. Sometimes we toss and turn for one reason or another, but I think he was able to sleep and to have a good night's rest. And then when he awakes, the Bible says in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. So here he is. He's making his getaway. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I have called my son. And so here we find the Lord's joy and intervention in making sure that all of his people, the wise men, Mary and Joseph and the Lord Jesus were in good hands, right? Were in safety, and there was no alarm. Everything was done just accordingly as the Lord would plan it out, and they could rest in that. And lastly, I want you to see the wickedness here that's revealed. Notice the tireless wickedness, not only that, but and the frustration of the wicked. Look what happens here in verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He had his plan, but God has his. And so they're upset and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Was he a little bit mad? I think in more ways than one, don't you? And so he slays all of the children in all the coasts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not, typifying here and defining that they were slain. And then notice here in verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead, which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came unto the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus, I think is his name, did reign in Judea and in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside unto the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. And so this was all prophecy being fulfilled. When did God write that? Before Mary and Joseph were born, a few hundred years before, and before the Lord. How does God know that? How did he know all that? He knew exactly. The whole thing was planned out. And yet everybody had a choice to make. How does God know that? Here's the answer. Because he's God. That's the only answer. Simply because he's God. Don't you love our God? Amen? And he had seen in eternity. I don't understand it. But here's the wonderful thing. We're engrafted in also. And the same faith that Mary and Joseph and the wise men and all of the other people of faith placed in God was simply because they saw God's great faithfulness. Do you know what God wants to show us? He wants to show us, but we have to seek him by faith. He wants to show us his great faithfulness. Now, how will we ever see his great faithfulness if we don't ask him? Don't be afraid to ask him. I might ask him for the wrong thing. There's no might about it. You will. You will, because we don't know. But God knows that. And so he says, you ask me, and you read my word, and you will learn my way and my will, because he will reveal it. He will show us his will, and he will show us his ways. We won't be among the first to make mistakes. Did Peter make any mistakes? Did he misunderstand the Lord? Did he not get a revelation in one breath, and the next step he was rebuked by the Lord? That's okay. It's okay. Question, did God know that Peter was going to mess up? He did know. Oh my goodness, imagine this. Does God know that we will make mistakes, and he never forsakes us? Isn't that amazing? Approach the Lord. What you have a loving heavenly Father and a Savior that has blessed us beyond measure and loved us beyond measure, gave his life for us that we might be filled to be led by the Holy Spirit. And so God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he knows all of our shortcomings. Approach the Lord. It's all right. He'll fine-tune us. It's okay. We will know him in a greater way if we will seek him by faith and say, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do. I want to have that peace. I want to know you in such a way that the world knows, this is how God wants us to know, that the world knows that we know him. that the world knows, come what may, we have something that God has given to us that they know is supernatural. That's the light and the salt of the earth. And that's what God wants us to experience. It can only happen as a saved child of God, and it can only happen as a saved child of God, that we approach the throne of grace by faith, believing that God has a plan and a will for us, not just on Sundays, but every day, and that we can grow in that grace and experience His mercy and His love that will build us into such a dependent child because of experience with Him, that we don't want anything else. That we can say like Paul, the Scriptures are for our example, right? That we can truly say, not just because we're supposed to or because we're Christians, but because we really want to say, because we really believe, for us to live is what? Christ. For us to live, really, is to experience the grace of God in our lives. So God wants us to know all about this relationship because of our Savior who was born into this world. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation, opportunity to draw closer to the Lord? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder how you truly hold everything in your hands, including us. And Lord, how much you love us and how much you want to reveal to us. And all you've asked us to do is to seek you, and that we would find you, and that we can call upon you, and that you will truly answer us, Lord. Help us to ask you, to call upon you, to show us how to walk with you, how to follow you, and how to know your will, Lord, that we might be found faithful. Bless your people. Bless your church tonight. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.